Yeah, I'm coming.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah,
fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We are joined by our usual suspects. We are really, really ready to have another night and just a lot of topics, you know. So Rob, JQ, Gary, myself, we are covered. And, you know, like we always like to do, we got to check in across the way. I'm going to let JQ get settled and start with Rob Ford. How you feeling this evening, Rob?
Hey, doing great. You know, ready to get this party started, man. Feeling good. The Bucks out.
Checking in on the Atlanta here as well. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good, bro. I'm good. Beat up on those Ravens, you know. Sam Hubbard, shout out to him for the fumble scoop and score for 98 yards. Make sure that I didn't have a heart attack at the end of that game, a little closer than I wanted it to be. But when you play a division rival, like we talked about, and you got to play them two times back-to-back and the third time in the season, you get a game like that.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good point.
You're
you look at the Dolphins and the Bills. I mean, such the Dolphins had a third-string quarterback and still, you know, hung in that game, only lost by 3 points. But 49ers and the Seahawks wasn't so close.
It was close for a little while.
It's in the third quarter. You're right.
Speaking of close, but no, not close at all. Gary, how you feeling, man? I know we were kind of giving you a hard time with everything, but if you're not Brett Maher, everything else is good, you know. But Cowboys, yeah. Pulled it out. Mm-hmm. How you feeling, man? that's
well,
why,
you know, I'm doing all right right now. Doing all right.
How about that sign I sent y'all? That was from a restaurant here in Tampa.
Yeah, that's tough. Even though I don't know how, if you're a restaurant in Tampa, you're talking trash. I mean, you might just want to sit this one out.
Yeah,
just gonna put that out there.
That's true. Couldn't live it out, man. So, yeah, we got to – it's hard to follow that. But, you know, definitely as mentioned, you know, it's just one of those situations, man. So, but, you know, Gary, I want to check in, not talking junk. I know it's been an interesting day. Happy birthday to your dad and everything like that, too, and everything like that. But how you feeling,
yeah,
sir?
Oh, I'm doing all right. We needed to get out of the house a little bit, so we went for a ride and ran some errands, and we went up to see if Curtis's headstone was – in position yet, but it's not, so we're still waiting on that. But I was checking on it and checking on my friend, and today's my dad's birthday. He would have been 88 today, and he would have been loving football this weekend, you know.
yeah we're just in a
my mom and my wife stuff. Not so much. My dad and I.
That's because obviously your dad being a Rams fan, you know, interesting to see that too, right? So, but it was a good weekend, you know. This is what we got for the games and whatnot too. So, but yeah, we got a lot to definitely talk about. Let's dive right in really quickly because we got a lot of topics to cover. Even though, you know, Rob Definitely wants to keep this going. We're going to try to get out by 12 as always. We'll see if we can pull this off right on time too. So let's get with it. You know, NFL playoffs are around the corner. And obviously, if you're, you know, we're going into the Cowboys, you know, and we got to talk about Jalen Hurts and everything like that too. But is he healthy enough for the Eagles to thrive, right? You know, so right now, I think whenever we started this year, we were talking about the Eagles, and the Eagles definitely had questions about Jalen Hurts, and he's answered those, I would definitely say. And now you kind of see what happens. You know, Gardner Minshew, you know what I'm saying? But it does seem like Jalen is making that train go. So this is tough, right? You're the Eagles. I mean, that defense has gone through some stuff. They're not quite strong enough to withstand, you know, obviously not having, you know, just having the dynamic like that. So I guess the question, so I'll throw it to you, JQ, is he healthy enough for the Eagles to thrive, I guess, is the question out the gate.
I'm still going to say yeah. I think it's going to be a closer game than people think. Because, you know, he's got a lot of rust, right? Like, he didn't look great in that last game against the Giants. The Giants weren't playing everybody, but they did just enough, you know, to get by to get the one seed. So if he's not, then that injury, they really were downplaying it, because it must be worse, a lot worse than they were letting on. I still feel like, you know, that they should probably beat the Giants. I think you're going to have another game like that, you know, Miami, Buffalo, and that Cincinnati-Baltimore game. Third time around again, you know, he's probably a little rusty, probably not all the way 100%. And then you've got the Giants, who have been playing, you know, pretty much for the most part in the last month and a half, you know, to get in the playoffs outside of, you know, last week when they had security due to other teams losing. But, you know, then they're playing hot, right? They're feeling real good about themselves after knocking off Minnesota. But, you know, I still feel like from top to bottom, the Eagles have a better roster other than the Giants do. And they won't just let Daniel Jones run as wild as he did on Minnesota. Minnesota was a fraud, and we've been calling Minnesota a fraud for a while. Like, Minnesota was sitting there with a great record, and they couldn't make any of our top fives, right? So I think everybody on this call right. Kind of saw that coming a little bit. But I still think the Eagles will find a way to win this game. But I think it's going to be close. I forget what the spread was, but I think the Eagles still have enough to get by the Giants. Now, if they have to go play San Francisco, or San Francisco has to come to Philadelphia, I'm sorry, Gary, but I think San Francisco is going to win that game, then that's another conversation we could have next week.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rob.
You know, obviously last week of the regular season, you know, Jalen Hurts did not look 100%, right? And that's our last image of what we've seen of Jalen Hurts. So I think for me, and I want the Eagles to win this game. I mean, trust me, you know, Daniel Jones, you know, played probably one of his better games I've ever seen him play this past weekend on the road against the Vikings. So kudos to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like overall he's turning the corner, you know, with his career. So I think it's the Eagles. I mean, you got to be a little concerned going into this football game. And obviously, like I said, I want them to win. I hope Jalen Hurts is healthy. But based off the last game that I saw, you know, that, I mean, obviously that's going to be 2 weeks past by the time this game comes this weekend. But I'm a little concerned. I really am going into this game, especially particularly the way the Giants played this past weekend. I mean, I'm still going to predict an Eagles win, but, you know, the Giants played them extremely tough, and they didn't even play the best players here in that game at the end of the regular season. So it's definitely concerning, and if you're an Eagles fan, but I think they'll get by. I think they'll get enough. I think this game is going to be a lot closer than we most people indicate. I think the Eagles pull it out, but I just wonder, you know, how far they're going to go if Jalen Hurts is not 100%, especially with the way the Cowboys played last night, the way the 49ers have been playing with the last 11 weeks, and the way they've been playing. So I think they get by the Giants, but if he's not 100%, I can't see them beating the 49ers or the Cowboys the following week, even at home.
Yeah.
Well, I would agree with you there. I think it's going to be, like you alluded to, both JQ and Rob, you alluded to it being probably a closer game than what people are anticipating. You know, if you would have been talking about this 5 or 6 weeks ago, we would have thought they would have just blown them out. But the way they played the last time they played, with the personnel that the Giants had, as you alluded to, Andre, you know, I think it's going to be a really good game. I think it's going to be it may not be as exciting, but I think it's going to be similar to someone making a last big splash play like we saw in your game this weekend, JQ, where teams going down, so maybe some sort of turnover or interception or something's going to happen, and that's what's going to win the game for either team. And I really think it's a coin flip of who's going to win this game, especially with Jalen Hurts not 100%. Now, you know, I'm not reading a lot of stuff on it either, so it seems like they're keeping stuff kind of hush-hush on it, which leads me to believe that maybe there's, you know, more to it than just, you know, yeah, he's ready to go. He's 100%, you know. I don't think he's 100%. I don't think he's close to 100%. But I know he's going to try because we know what they have without him. And they have a loss without him.
Yeah.
The mustache dude.
Yeah, Gardner Minshew was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good observation as well, man. It's just, you know, we're looking at just the change in dynamics too, and just how one piece, you know, can affect the team. And we'll talk about that too, because I'm sure, you know, you said it earlier about, you know, just division games. We all talk about it, you know, whenever I'm looking at, you know, the Dolphins and the Bills, and just having, you know, it's two of the answer, like little things like that, right? But they still have, you know, the, like you said, Rob, the back quarter wasn't there, but they still made a game of it. You know, it's just, it's hard to beat that division stuff. But, you know, let's move to the next topic here. Rob, this may be closer to you, man, because, you know, I don't know if you're still in Tampa, if you're in Atlanta right now, but, you know, I think
he's home, like,
so
I recognize the Drake.
Yeah. Yeah, he's on. Okay, cool, cool. Yeah, I got you. So, you know, so right now you're probably getting a lot of interesting news about what's happening with Tampa Bay. They've officially fired, you know, Byron Leftwich. There's a lot of scuttlebutt about, you know, getting rid of Todd Bowles and just Todd Bowles can't lead. And now again, now me, you know, you look at my skin, you know, it does seem like, you know, scapegoat here, because right now there was no issue never. Bruce Arians was running it and all that good stuff, and they run it back with, you know, whatever, bring it back with Tom Brady. Then, you know, Bruce Arians leaves, and now, you know, it's a problem. But all the injuries that happened with, you know, Tampa Bay, you know, offensive line, just all this stuff, and, you know, Tom didn't play his best, you know, obviously. But we know because he's getting old, so you're kind of getting the culmination of just, you know, the snowball effect, right? And then now he can't lead, terrible. They're talking about, you know, is Todd Bowles the answer, you know, but is it Byron Leftwich's fault that, you know, he wasn't creative enough, or was it just, you know, Tom Brady? You know, you had all these different kind of things happening. So what's kind of the mood there, because it was expected as far as what's happening with Byron Leftwich, and is it his fault for him lacking creativity, as they say, with Tampa Bay?
Well, I mean, last week on the show, I mentioned that we have five playoff teams that are not good football teams. And I mentioned the Bucs are just not a good football team. And they probably had the worst performance, maybe them outside of Seattle, of any playoff team this past weekend, right? And the only team out of that five that actually won was the Giants. And so kudos to the Giants for winning that game, going on the road, and Daniel Jones. I don't know how much further they're going to go. But, you know, and the Bucs have not been good offensively all season long. And you know, obviously someone had to be the scapegoat for them going 8-9 this season. You saw the Chargers. They fired Joe Lombardi for, you know, basically, you know, having a dud in the second half. But if you look at the Buccaneers' offense this season, they struggled all year long. Do I think Byron Leftwich was the problem? I don't think so. I think he's definitely the scapegoat. I mean, people all gung-ho about Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady was not a good quarterback this year. I mean, let's just face it. He was.
Yeah.
He was not a good – you saw some of those throws that, even last night. I know part of it was because of the protection and lack of protection, but Tom Brady was not a good quarterback this year. I mean, let's face it. He was not. He missed on, you know, I saw him play quite a few times this year, being here in Tampa, and, of course, twice to get my Saints. But he was not a very good quarterback this year. and a lot of inaccurate throws, a lot of poor decision making, with even with that touchdown or that INT threw in the end zone last night. Obviously, it's a scapegoat, and I don't know if Tom Brady had anything to do with that. I think Todd Bowles had to do something, and this was his something. Now, obviously, the Bucs are saying Todd Bowles are going to be back next season as a coach. I don't think it's totally Byron Leftwich's fault. A couple of years ago, they went to the Super Bowl, and Byron Leftwich had a lot to do with that. I just think he's a scapegoat. But this offensive team, they struggled on the offensive line. They had injuries on the offensive line. Tom Brady wasn't that good. Now, if there's one thing I will say about Byron Leftwich, that I think way too many games this year he got away from the running game. And a lot of that, you know, last night they got behind early. He does have a tendency to go away from the running game a little bit too quickly. So I will say that's one thing I will say that's negative on. Overall, I don't think it's overall his fault. I just think they had a lot of challenges this year. Chris Godwin wasn't 100%. Julio Jones is 95 years old. And then you have, like I said, Chris Godwin, Julio Jones, Mike Evans wasn't himself this year. So, I mean, I think there was a lot of challenges with that offense this year. So I definitely don't think it was all Byron Leftwich's fault. But if there, like I said, there was one thing, is he gets away from the running game too quickly.
Yeah, and that's why I say two things can be true. I think it's a combination of, you know, Todd said, I'm sorry, brother, man, but if you wanted me to keep my job, I got to get rid of you. It's terrible, but that's part of it. The head coach, same thing happened in L.A. The same thing happened in L.A. because if you talk about Brandon Staley, he could get on the headphone and be like, hey, bro, give the ball to Austin Eckler. Like, just because the OC calls the play doesn't mean you can't talk to him on the sideline and override that, right? So that piece of it, you know, I'll just kind of lump those two together. But, you know, with Byron, he gets away from the run too much. And two, when I was there in person, when they played the Bengals, they gave the Bengals fits with more of the pre-snap motion and a little bit more of the hurry-up. And I know you can't do that for a whole game, but sometimes he forgets that he can do that, and then it becomes to be a little bit too late. So I'm going to give him some of the blame, but I don't think he necessarily got fired over it. I think the biggest thing was, one, the injuries on the offensive line. You got to get Tom Brady in pocket. And Tom Brady is not a quarterback. Yeah. You get him off his spot, same thing they used to say about Peyton Manning. If you get him off his spot, you got a chance because they don't want to move. They want to hang in that pocket and deal. But if you want to hang in the pocket and deal, you got to not be afraid to take some hits. Tom Brady doesn't want to get hit no more, man. If you watch the other game, those games where, you know, he's short-armed in that interception you talked about, it's because he was throwing, going backwards because he was trying to keep from getting hit. And those balls didn't go as far as they needed to. He missed Kate out wide open over the middle. He's throwing it behind people. He couldn't get the ball out of bounds because he was trying to do this to get away from the pass rush. And, you know, he's still 45, and that arm is still good enough, but it's not 35 or 25-year-old Tom Brady arm, right? So Tom Brady's really going to look himself in the mirror and say, do I want to play? Because in order for me to play that I want to, unless I go somewhere where they have a great offensive line or they revamp it to bring me in, I'm going to have to be willing to take a couple hits in the mouth in order to get these first downs to keep these drives going. So I don't know if Tom Brady is there right now mentally. He don't want to get hit. You can just tell. And that's why those passes look so bad. He's just trying to get the hell out the way. I'm going to give Tom more of the blame because he just don't want to get hit no more. But Byron could have helped him out a little bit more with some of that play calling. But the injuries on the offensive line also had a very big, big factor in what happened with Tampa Bay this year.
I would say that the offensive line especially. And when you're dealing with these sort of things, you get to the end of the season, you go through your, you know, your postseason interviews. Man, if I'm that head coach and my team just went 8-10 after my playoff loss, man, I'm going to say, you know what? Boy, that offensive coordinator sure didn't do us any favors, did he? I'm saving my ass. And in football, we'll notice that. We'll see that. Those are really expendable positions. They're the most important on your team, defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator on that staff, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But they're the most expendable when the heat's on, you know. And we're gonna see more of that. And there's gonna be a lot more movement with teams as. Other people are applying for positions, you know, like our offensive defensive coordinator are in running for different jobs around the league. You know, these are carousel jobs, but boy, I'll tell you what, they're sure important and they sure are expendable. And that's kind of bullshit because really it should lay right down on that head coach's lap because he has final say on everything.
Correct.
A lot of times it doesn't.
Yeah. Yep. And sometimes I hear you, Gary, and sometimes you worry about consistency, right? Because, you know, you nail it. It's like we know the NFL stands for not for long for a couple different reasons. But consistency, continuity, you know, if you look at, you know, right now, you alluded to it, everyone, you know, Gary, Rob, JQ, just about, you know, the problems with the offensive line. And that's important, right? They've gone from having, you know, Daniel Penn, Donovan Smith, Ali Moffitt, you know, retired. You know, your center, Jensen, was going through some challenges. They've had this revolving door of the, and you know that's affecting the team. And that, of course, affects Tom Brady. And it, I can't call the same plays, you know. So now that changed the whole dynamic of my team.
Well,
it affects
play calling. It affects the running game.
Right. All of that.
You know?
All of that comes into play, right? And it affects my defense, right? So now I got to worry about, the, you know, all these things are kind of a conglomeration of what's happening. And then, because you know you had a squad, but then, you know, you just were in the Super Bowl like 2 years ago, but then now this happens, right? So all these different – not Super Bowl, you know what I'm talking about. All these different things happen, and it just kind of changes as far as, you know, it's like, oh, you're gone. You know, what have you done for me late? And you got, well, hey, this happened, you know. So we didn't have the depth that we thought, and it's kind of showing as far as it happened. And like you said, it's like there's some challenges, you know, but as you said, Byron was the scapegoat. You know, Todd Bowles is trying to save his skin, and right now it's not looking too good. So, you know, we're going to see what's going to happen in the next couple weeks, you know, because I'm pretty sure that Tom Brady's not going back to Tampa Bay. If you listen to his press conference, he's like, hey, you know, not that he's riding Sunset, but I don't think he's playing for Tampa Bay anymore. That ship has definitely sailed for him, you know. So we'll know. We'll see for sure.
Well, let's say he doesn't play again. Let's say this was his last game. It could very well be his last game. If this were his last game, I'm glad it was my team that put him out.
There you go.
And
that
I'm glad, and
year,
I hope
bro.
It is his last game, because just think of all those teams over the course of his over two-decade career that have had fired head coaches, fired coordinators, changes of personnel, you know, players being cut, all of these things in the last two decades that his teams that he's been on, his two teams that he's been on, have affected primarily the Patriots, you know, and how they have, how he is affected. I love to see the fact that he, if this is his last game, that he goes out and has to sit in front of the microphone as the losing quarterback on the field. That's what I'm hoping for.
The gleaming in Gary's eyes, it's hilarious. Yeah. He'll be 46 sure, by the time that season starts, man, or whatever, training camp. So we'll see if he's going to be around, my friend. Wow. Let me really quickly do the top four teams left in the playoffs right now. And obviously this can be for interpretation. Everyone has their thoughts. You know, this is just, you know, looking at everything. And it's tough, right, because, you know, technically, I can start a couple ways. I can start with the Chiefs right now, and this is just, you know, Mahomes, everything like that. Shout out to your Bengals at number two. JQ, even though I know you survived a scare, obviously, with the Ravens. I got the Eagles number three only because of the fact, too, that, you know, Jalen Hurts kind of does his thing, and it's tough, right? I mean, I'm hoping they've been one of the better teams throughout the season. You know, I got them in that position, and then I'm going to round it out number four with the 49ers, just the dismantling of Seahawks. And then, you know, obviously having, you know, a trigger man like Brock Purdy in there, you know, that's what I've got. You know, it can be whatever you want to put in there too. I mean, shout out, you know, obviously the Cowboys are, you know, outside looking into that too. It's tough, right? You know, we can say the Bills, you know, all that fun stuff too. But it's just, this is just me just kind of on the, you know, right now what I see in my eyes, if you will, too. So that's what I've got.
Wow. I don't think I would start with San Francisco. I know they, you know, again, they had a little bit of a scare for the first half into the third quarter, but I think they just are the most complete team. I don't like the 49ers at all, but, you know, you talk about offensively, all the weapons they have on offense. They have, you know, Pro Bowls on every level of their defense. That San Francisco team is pretty good. And I was telling people, I was like, the Ravens had the second best defense to me in the postseason, and the 49ers clearly number one. I'm going to go with Kansas City at number two. And I mean, I just got to give Patrick Mahomes his credit. They still look the part, right? And then I'll put. I wasn't super impressed with the Bills. Like, everybody wants to put them in there, but they mean just Skylar Thompson. I know he's a division rival, but they let them hang around way much longer than that. That spread was like 13.5 points. I'm gonna go with the Bengals right now at three. I can't put them any higher right now because of the offensive line. It worries me going into Buffalo, but. You know, they had a very tough – everybody had one of the toughest opening wildcard rounds because of that defense playing Baltimore for a third time. And then I'm going to go with Dallas at four. I know it was Tom Brady, but they got on Tom Brady's ass last night. And that's the best I've seen Dak look outside of that opening drive that I've seen him look in a while. He was in command of that offense once he settled down for touchdowns, throwing for touchdowns, making good plays. So I'm going to see the Cowboys in there at four.
Good stuff. Robbie's muted, Robbie.
I'm sorry, y'all. I mostly agree with JQ, except for number four. And I can see where you're going with number four, but I guess I'm going to pick the top four that I think is going to win this weekend. Definitely impressed with what Dallas did on last night. But San Francisco, that 11-game run that they're on right now, when you look at what they got going offensively right now, the way they utilize McCaffrey, the way they utilize Debo, the way the offensive line is blocking, the way that Shanahan is calling these plays and the misdirection and the running plays and things of that nature, and then the way the defense is playing, to me, they're definitely the most complete team in the league right now. And I agree with Cam. I would put Cincinnati number two if it wasn't for the offensive line concerns. I really would. They are right there. It's one of the hottest teams in the league, 9 games in a row. And I could have easily saw a Cincinnati-San Francisco Super Bowl. I'm not sure if that's going to happen with that the line play and the concerns on the offensive line for Cincinnati. But I definitely – you saw that in that game. The offensive line started to struggle. I mean, technically, the offensive only scored 17 points in that game with that defensive touchdown that they got. So that is concerning if you're a Bengals fan. And also, this game should be on a neutral site. I'm sorry, the NFL got that wrong. This Cincinnati-Buffalo game should not be played in Buffalo. This is another situation, another game that should have been played on a neutral site this weekend.
Yep.
That's just the way I feel. I mean, that's the way I kind of, you know, look at things too.
Yeah.
So I
didn't look like I had sour grapes, so I didn't bring it up.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna.
Well,
say
you should have brought it up, and I'm glad. I'm glad you did, Rob.
Yeah.
I've got
Kansas
City as the number one team, just because Mahomes he's so scary. 49ers, I have in the number two spot. I've got Philly in the number three spot, and I've got Cincinnati in the number four spot. I've got Dallas in the fifth spot, and in the sixth spot, I'm going a little further. I've got the Bills in the sixth spot because I haven't been impressed with them. But if you take all six of those teams can win this weekend. You know, they all have different games. I don't think there's going to be any gimme game this weekend at all.
But if I had to say, like, what's the one team I'm confident that's going to win, I would probably say Kansas City. What's that, you know, during the regular season, you play those, what is that, pick them, or what is it called when you, if it's one
suicide
team you're going to pick that week to win?
Survivor.
Suicide, in the Suicide League?
Oh, yeah, the Suicide League.
Yeah.
So if we had that in the playoffs, my pick would be Kansas City. Because even, as well as San Francisco was playing, Dallas was playing outstanding too, at least based off of last night.
Yeah.
And we don't know about Jalen Hurts' situation, so it wouldn't be a total surprise if the Giants go there and pull off the upset. And then with Cincinnati's offensive line, Buffalo's a flawed team, And JQ touched on that a little while ago. They are a flawed team. They're not a perfect team. They're not a great running team. Their defense is not playing that great right now. And Josh Allen gets them out of trouble, but he also makes mistakes too. So that, to me, they're a flawed team. So I think, to me, if I had, if it was a suicide pick, I would probably pick the Chiefs, out of who are most confident in winning this week.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah, Jaguars, man. They did it.
I hope we get a Jaguars Bengals fan who would be in Cincinnati.
Of course you do. Of course you do, JQ. Get out. Get out here. I love it. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Well, I want the Giants to win this week.
I know you do.
We called out the fraud that is Kirk Cousins. No, it is not tough. No, it just, yeah, man, that was tough, man.
Yeah.
Man. Wow. Let's talk about this. Speaking of the game, right, and JQ, I know you're going to love this too, because right now there's been some thoughts about Lamar Jackson, right? You know, there was an interesting tweet he talked about, like, you know, if you care for something, you don't, you know, whatever.
You treat it right.
Yeah, it was one of those, was it kind of cryptic, you know, and then, or was it like, you know, that's just, you know, hearsay, you know, because, you know, if you're the Ravens, it's like, do you really want to let him go? I mean, seriously, you know, where is he going to end up next year, you think?
You know what? As long as that team is in the NFC, I don't care. And if I'm the Ravens, I'm going to try to find somebody to send it to him in the NFC. You don't want him to be in the AFC and come back to haunt you. Like, you know he's still good. Like, they might win that game. They probably would have, given the way that defense was playing yesterday and their offensive line struggles if Lamar was playing in that game. And I'm just going to be honest, as a Bengals fan. So, you know, I keep hearing the Jets maybe trading for him. And I know he's from Miami, but, you know, Tua can't stay healthy. So I've heard that as well. But, I mean, I just hope he goes somewhere else. You know, go to the NFC South. I know the Falcons, I think, have preferred to be real hot to try to battle Lamar Jackson, too. Honestly, I've seen rumors about him going to Atlanta.
Yeah.
He's a Southern kid. It's not Miami, but it still gets him a little closer south, right? But, yeah, but selfishly, you know, the AFC is so loaded with young quarterbacks right now. You know, between Burrow and Allen and Mahomes and Herbert. Now Trevor Lawrence has made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, bro, go that way. So, and if I'm the NFC, I'm happy.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
Gary took the words right up my mouth. I don't think he's going anywhere. Baltimore is not going to let him leave. I think they realize how valuable he is to that organization, especially with the way they played him the last six games. How many games did he win in the last six games? One or two?
I think two.
I think they beat Atlanta and maybe someone else. And that's it. I mean, I think they realize – I know they're frustrated with his injury, but I also think they realize how valuable he is to that organization, and it might have actually increased his price tag. Well, some people think it may have devalued his price tag. I actually think it increased his price tag because of, you know, I think they really see how valuable he is at that organization. I mean, their average points per game dropped by almost 10 points without Lamar Jackson.
Wow.
They were averaging 24 points a game. They dipped almost 14 points a game. I mean, that's huge.
That's huge.
You know, the NFL has got a lot of games that are decided by 3 points, or evidence that you saw this past weekend, but 3 points and 7 points. And, I mean, that's a huge difference between winning and losing in the NFL. And so if you're the Ravens, your goal is to keep him healthy and to re-sign him.
Yeah, it's funny because you both make some good points, and I kind of lean a little bit towards, you know, it's tough, right? JQ, you said about some rumors about Atlanta because, you know, obviously, like, man, get the heck out of here. You know, is that true, right? You know, but I do know a couple things. He's a huge Michael Vick fan. We've talked about that. We've talked about the fact that, you know, and this is pie in the sky, right? For as a Falcon fan, it's kind of like, you know, you just are getting out of, you know, that cap hell that you were in. You just had, you know, Matt Ryan a huge contract. You're done with that. So now you got, you know, we don't know what Desmond Ridder is, but you can start doing the pieces. You don't have to worry about his salary right now. You got him on the rookie deal. You can start building around him, right? But then you have this dynamic player that's like, you know, with him in that running, you can kind of get away with some things. You know, you already have some weapons. The defense needs – now you can kind of focus on defense because that's done. So it's like, you know, you bring excitement back. You know, Atlanta, we're not just, you know, less thought of, you know. So that's kind of one side of you is like, and I can see that, but then I don't really want to spend the money, you know, so it's a very interesting paradox. But then I agree with Gary, and I agree with, you know, Rob. Why would the Ravens get rid of him? You know, he is such a dynamic piece of that squad. I don't even want to go down that path, right, because it's like, why would I even entertain that whenever I'm thinking they're going to get him, you know what I'm saying? But it is interesting. You know, those rumors are happening where there's smoke, there's fire.
Here's the problem I think that's happening is that he and his mom are the agents, right? So when you have your agent, the agent goes in the room, and they talk to the GM, and then they say, well, you don't do this and this well. This is why we want to come with you at this dollar value. When you're in there and it's your mom, when you hear them knocking you down, so to speak, you know, in terms of trying to get you down to a lower number, you know, that is straight to home. You don't have that agent as a buffer who's used to those negotiations, and he doesn't tell you everything that's said about you in that room because he wants it to go smoothly if he can. That's why I think part of that starts to get more contentious. For one, and for two, I think I heard somewhere earlier that the guaranteed money in the contract was like 133 guaranteed, which to everybody else is a lot of money. But if you're an MVP and you've accomplished what he's been doing for the Ravens, that's got a big number when you're trying to re-sign Lamar Jackson. And of course, Deshaun got 230, and I don't think anybody's trying to approach that. They're looking at Cleveland like, what the fuck? But a whole $100 million less is, and you and your mom are listening to that like, word? So if that's true and you're hearing that, man, that cuts to the bone for you and your mom as the agents trying to negotiate this deal. That's why I think it's got so rocky and contentious, because they are hearing it. Like, you're telling me this face-to-face, and if I'm not in there, my mom is in there, and she's getting pissed, and that's my boy, and we ain't here talking about it when she gets out the room. And it's like, man, that's a tough place to be for the Ravens trying to negotiate it that way. Don't get me wrong. I don't got no love for the Ravens, but – when you have to negotiate directly with the player and then you come in with that number, he's looking at you like, I'm not playing for the franchise tag. I'll hold out. You it might come to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. But like you said, like, you know, Gary said, you know, like Rob said, it's interesting because, you know, Caleb Huntley, you know, he's all right, but he's no Lamar Jackson. You know, so that's a huge, you know, your defense is good, man. Like you said, second best defense behind the 49ers. But and you saw, you know, Cincinnati is an explosive team. I was looking at it like, wow, it's only like, you know, it was tight, you know, and just that one difference at quarterback just changed the whole dynamic of that squad, man. So you gotta, it's like that joke of love, man. You gotta show me some love, man. That's all I'm saying, you know. You appreciate me. That's all I'm asking for, some appreciation here, because you see how much value I add to this squad, you know. So it's an interesting situation.
Yeah.
So you'd be kind of foolish.
133 is ridiculous. It's true. Yeah, if 133 is all they guaranteed in that contract proposal, the last one, that's just an insult to Lamar Jackson. And I don't know if that's true. I read that somewhere and was like, come on, Baltimore.
Yeah.
After you get Roquan to 100 million, like, he's sitting there like, wait a minute. You gave an off-the-ball linebacker $100 million total to make him the highest off-paid off-the-ball linebacker, not be a middle linebacker. But you only going to give me 133 guaranteed? Like, I get the Roquan is good, but I'm Lamar. You know what I mean? I got MVP.
Right.
So,
I'm MVP. Gary, let's show you some love here with the Cowboys. You're talking about a huge win, and we got to throw a little jab at you because, you know, they talk about, you know, this is the first, what, it's been 30 years they haven't won a playoff game outside a road playoff game. I know you guys are going through all that. You've heard the quote since Jimmy Johnson there, how about them Cowboys? And that's whenever they started their Super Bowl run. Jimmy Johnson, the first one, they had Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith, and they beat the 49ers to kind of go into that. So that's when it kind of kicked off that. So we talked about, as you said it, Dak played amazing. You may have a problem with your kicker, but other than that, Dak played amazing. Defense showed up. This is going to be interesting. So I'm going to let you kind of have your moment here. And then, I don't know, man, a daunting task with a different squad in the 49ers. So let you have your moment, Gary. What say you, man?
Well, I will say that Dak did play the best game of the season, maybe the best game in a Cowboy uniform. In
the right
game.
Time, too.
Kellen Moore's like,
so,
thank you.
Yeah. Right. You know, with a, you know, a 143.3 passer rating, and I was going back and I was quarterback rating, and I was looking at his last seven games. And in his last seven games, he was 70, 80, 40. You know, there was one game where it was a 124 rating. But nothing like this. you know, not when it, this is playoff time, and he really played playoff football. And I'll tell you what, I watched the game, of course, start to finish, like we all do for our teams. First series, they get the ball, three and out, they punt. We stop them, we get the ball again, three and out, punt. I'm like, here we go. It's going to be just like I predicted. I wasn't predicting a Cowboy victory in this game because they gave me no hope going in. I was very impressed with Dak. I was impressed with the offensive line and how they had to move people around and, you know, to keep Dak upright and, you know, not be pressured too much, which he wasn't. I thought the receivers played well. I thought everybody on that team played well, except our kicker. And boy, did he stink. Now, against the 49ers, if the Cowboys play the type of football game that they're capable of that we just saw, if they play that, they're going to have a chance in this game. But they're not going to be getting touchdowns every time. So they're going to have to depend on that kicker, Mahar. They're going to have to depend on him. Now, in the course of the season, the guy was phenomenal. He hit over 60. He hit quite a few, well, way over 50, close to 60. And then he missed three extra points all season long. And I think one of them was tipped. Now you get in a game and you miss four straight. Unbelievable. Yeah. So if he turns it around, because they're going to need field goals, because the difference in this game may just be one of those field goals or not if he misses it. That's what concerns me. The 49ers have a great running attack. They've got a, you know, great offensive line. You know, they're a good football team all the way around. The only thing that I would say to the Cowboys, and I'm sure Dan Quinn is preaching on that, let's get in and let's rattle this young guy. Mm-hmm. Let's rattle Purdy. Let's knock him on his ass a few times. If they can get to him, or they can show him things that he hasn't seen, and they can create a couple of turnovers, and they were number one again in the league this year in turnovers, and they're going to need to get a couple of turnovers to beat the 49ers. If they don't get those turnovers, you know, it's going to be a long day for them, and Purdy's going to the NFC Championship.
It's all about timing. It's about timing, Gary, because, you know, like Atlanta beat 49ers in week, I think it was like week 10, something crazy like that. All their guys are hurt. When they didn't have, you know, the Christian McCaffrey that we have now, now this squad is ready. You know, and this is a totally different squad. They are going to run the ball and run the ball and run the ball. So, Cowboys, y'all going to get a heavy dose, and they're going to do some play action. They're going to come out, you know, Brock Purdy is playing well. You got a Christian McCaffrey, you got Deebo Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
That and Dan Quinn knows how tough it is to stop. He hires, like, this is one of the difficult dudes to play, you know, to game plan against. That's why they hired him as offensive coordinator. They know each other's man. It's going to be tough, man. This is a tough game for the Cowboys, I fear, man, because, you know, Brock Purdy, and he's not playing like a rookie. You know, I know we can say what he is, but he's putting them in good situations and making those quick throws. You got a very confident, you know, defense, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel. You got a lot of weapons. George Kittle, we even mentioned Kittle, and Brandon Ayuk. This is an interesting squad, man, and they're playing with confidence, man. So they're gonna run the ball, man. It's gonna be tough. Go ahead, Jake. I didn't mean to cut you off, man. It's all about time.
No, I'm saying Kittle too. My only thing is you're 100% right, both of y'all. I just don't know how, given what the Cowboys have been through, that you take Meyer to San Francisco. Because if you come out of that game and he's missed two or three field goals and you played well enough to keep yourself in that game and you saw what happened this past week and you make the decision to stay with him and he does that again, but he misses a couple field goals and you end up losing by six or four or some shit like that, and you're like, man, we really had a team to do that this year, and we didn't. We were stubborn enough not to try to at least look into who's available, and you saw what he just did. That's going to be a long offseason in Dallas. So that's my only thing. I know you can't be knee-jerk, but, man, it's a lot riding on this. With the pressure that Jerry Jones is putting on it, I'm getting old. I want to see a Super Bowl again before I die. And you feel like, man, if you can go to San Francisco and knock them off, you knocked off one of the heavy favorites to win it all. And if it don't work out because you stuck with a kicker 1 week too long, that's going to be a lot of heartache in Dallas.
Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I will say this. The winner of this game, the winner of the Cowboys 49ers game, will be representing the NFC in the Super Bowl.
They might, especially if Jalen Hurts is still banged up. I mean, that's not a ridiculous statement.
Rob, what you got?
Yeah, I'm just saying it. Yeah, if that happens because of the kicker after what happened last week, it's going to be so many I told you so's. How do you take that guy to San Francisco? Like, that's just going to be – it's a tough spot. He put them in a really tough spot with that performance yesterday. Like, a tough spot because there's a reason the kicker's maybe waiting on the sidelines because maybe he can't kick in the clutch. And then if you bring him in and he sucks, then you're going to say, well, you should have stuck with Marr. So, like, he's – yeah, I don't envy the Cowboys in that decision on their kicker this week.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to afford to lose out on 4 points against these 49ers, that's for sure. I mean, you think they're just, you know, extra points, but, I mean, that could be the difference between winning and losing in a game against the 49ers this week. So that's going to be huge in this matchup here. Obviously, I know Gary touched on it. I thought Dak and Daniel Jones were the two best quarterbacks in this first weekend of the playoffs. And with Dak being the best overall, but
Purdy was pretty good too.
I was impressed with Dak and Daniel Jones. They were, you know, outstanding. It's going to take a lot of that from Dak again in order for them to going to have a chance to go on the road against the 49ers. But I tell you what, I hate the 49ers too. And I can't believe I'm going to be rooting for the Cowboys 2 weeks in a row. And
I can.
But I will be rooting for Dak, you know, Louisiana kid, and rooting for him to go on the road and beat the 49ers. But I can't pick against the 49ers, though. As much as I want the Cowboys to go in there and beat them, I'm picking the 49ers to win just because, I mean, number one, they're at home. Number two, Kyle Shanahan might be the best play caller in the league. And when you look at what he does, what he does with what he has, the mixed direction, the misdirection plays, the running plays, and he's got the weapons to back it up. I mean, we're talking about Debo Samuel, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, and the offensive line. I mean, he got probably the best left tackle in the game and one of the better offensive line in the game. This is a complete football team and playing as well as any team in the league. I mean, shucks, if I had to pick a winner to win the Super Bowl right now, it would be the 49ers. Debo or Brock Purdy at the quarterback position. I mean, they're just that loaded, well-rounded of a football team. I'm going to go San Francisco 27, Dallas 21, 6-point victory.
There was a good quote that your ex-coach said, Gary, Jimmy Johnson, and he was talking about kickers, and this is a great story. He was like, you know, whenever he was hired a kicker, he's like, I think he was talking to – kicker. This was the old Gary Anderson. He's like, yeah, Gary, you think you can do it? He's like, yeah, I don't know, coach, I don't know. Then he brought in another kicker. He's like, oh, coach, I would kick the hell out of that ball. He's like, that's the guy I got. Because you don't want a guy that just you know, that's kind of like, I don't know. You want somebody that I'll kick the hell out of that ball. It's like that confidence is what you need. And that's where, you know, Mar, like you said,
right,
that I grew JQ. Like, it's like you can't bring him. But you're kind of like, I don't know, you know, because he's kind of saying one thing, but then it's like, you know, his action totally different, you know. So it's just interesting for that perspective. I'm going to get these predictions real quick so we can wrap the show. We got 2 minutes here. We already got one prediction. Let's go with that. Cowboys at 49ers. Rob has picked the 49ers. JK, what say you in this one?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I just checked the weather while you were talking. It's temperature wise, it's supposed to be okay, but I think it says 8-9 mile an hour wind with about 20% chance of rain. So then, if you got a kicker that's got it in his mind, you get a little wind and a wet ball. I don't know what that does, but Robbie Gould also still has to kick in the same condition. So we'll see. I agree with Rob. You know, I want the Cowboys to win because you know the 49ers have cost us two Super Bowls. So you know, I do not want the 49ers to go get another one. I just think that, you know, I agree. If I had to pick one, I think you had that one into the Super Bowl predictions, one of the topics. I feel like it was San Francisco versus whoever's coming out of the AFC. Because I just feel like San Francisco is loaded at so many positions on both sides of the ball. Like, you're going to have Brock Purdy be a seventh-round pick, right? Like, he's going to have to be the one to shoot them in the foot for you to beat San Francisco, to me. Or just have a tip balls or some just craziness because they have so much talent. So I think it's maybe a little bit higher scoring. I'm going to go 30-26 San Francisco.
I agree. 49ers. Gary, go ahead, man.
I'm also going with the 49ers.
No, you're not, Gary. No, you're not. Reverse psychology.
I am. I'm going with the 49ers.
It worked for them last week.
On paper, they're a better team. I will say this. The Cowboys will have a chance because a lot of times that team coming into this divisional round is – flat. If they come in flat at all, and I'm talking about the Niners, they come in flat or you know, lackluster, you know, they're reading the papers and they're listening to everybody pick them, all pick us, and Cowboys go in and punch them in the mouth, they've got a shot. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it may be to a turnover or two, and I hope it's the turnover or two that falls the Cowboys' way. But on paper, got to go with the Niners.
I'm going to say this really quickly. I agree with JQ. If you make Brock Purdy a seventh-round pick, that's what's going to be the difference right there. You got to make him a seventh-round pick. If he's playing out of his mind. Yeah, it's crazy. That shows you how great that coach. You can put some money. But, again, we got questions about Trey Lance right now. This is a whole other conversation. But let's move on. Let's talk about the next game, Bills. Bengals at the Bills, right? JQ, this is the setup, man. Gary, if you want to talk about something, if you had another thought about it, you can throw that to me.
Like I said, he's going to use that reverse psychology like Gary used.
Gary, did you have another thought?
I am not.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you have another thought, Gary, real quick, though? Were you going to say something else?
Gary? No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, I have to make sure.
Why is that reverse psychology? I mean, everybody's picking the 49ers to win, you know, except the you know, the team down in Texas, they're not. They think they can go in and win. If they play like they played this, like I said, this last weekend, they're going to give themselves a shot. But I told you, they're going to need some field goals. And they're going to need a couple of turnovers. If they don't get any of those, they're going home. I hope they're not. But you know, a couple of weeks ago, I picked everything with my heart, and this time I'm trying to be more analytical about it.
You are objective.
I picked with my heart too much, Gary. I picked with my heart too much. I'm with you. Go ahead.
Well, you know I'm getting ready to pick with my heart right now. It's going to be 30 degrees. You're going to probably have some snow 1 to 3 inches. But all honesty, in that game in Cincinnati, I know it's going to be a different atmosphere that Cincinnati's going to have to go into because, you know, going into Buffalo. But they were moving the ball against Buffalo in that first quarter. They went right down the field the first time. They were on their way down the field the second time. This game is going to put, I think, is going to be a full-blown shootout unless the weather just gets ridiculously bad. I don't really think any totally stop the other offense. It's going to be, can I make them kick a field goal versus getting in the end zone? I just don't see them forcing a whole bunch of three and outs unless the Cincinnati offensive line just practices and goes out there and they have some scheme for them and they tear them up. That's the only caveat to where the Bengals can get blown out. Is that they just can't get it together on the offensive line. But they know, the Bengals know that they've got to shorter pass game, lean more on the run. But, you know, they've got explosive players, T. Boy, Chase. I still think they have enough to get it done. And I'm with you. You know, they keep having to pull games out because Allen keeps putting them in bad spots. And how long can you keep doing that before, you know, the chickens come home to roost? So I say the chickens come home to roost. 28-24 Cincinnati.
Hey, I tell you what, if Cincinnati offensive line was healthy, I think Cincinnati could win this game by double digits. I really think that's just the kind of role they were on.
I mean, the offensive line is certainly a concern of mine. I'm still picking the Bengals. I kind of somewhere in the ballpark with JQ was saying. I think it's going to be a little bit more high scoring than that. I'm going to go Cincinnati 35-31, but I really think if this Bengals offensive line was healthy, that they could beat the Bills by 10 or more points, even in Buffalo. I just think that's the kind of role the Bengals have been on.
I think this is going to be a phenomenal game, but I'm going with the home team. Weather, home crowd, Bills play good at home. This is one that they're going to, you know, both teams are going in there. I think that it's too bad that it's not in a neutral site.
Yep.
Because I think if it were in a neutral site, I'd be picking Cincinnati. But because it's the Bills and they're at home in this particular game, I'm going with the Bills. But I think it's another one of those games where it's going to be a mistake here or there. Well, who does make more mistakes? Well, a quarterback on the Bills side makes a hell of a lot more mistakes than Joe Cool. So we'll see how that goes. If he can be playing mistake-free football, the Bills will win. He throws a pick, Cincinnati. Yeah. I think he'll play mistake-free football. And what concerns me the most is because Burrow's going to have to do a lot of moving around with that offensive with the offensive line in this way it is right now.
Yep. Yeah, it's tough, man. The emotional thing also with, you know, Hamlin, it's a lot, man. You hope they'll do something to kind of like, you know, rattle, you know, growl up the Bills crowd because Cincinnati was ready to play, you know. So it's just tough, man. You know, it's neutral site. We all agree about that. Clearly, you know, the Bengals, I think, more talented in that instance as far like the offense is supposed to. So it's just tough. It's going to be tough, man. I'm kind of like, I'm willing to say Cincinnati, but I can see the Bills pulling us off too, man. It's just not fair. I'm going to really quickly skip because we got 3 minutes. I think everyone expects the Chiefs over the Jaguars. I think it's pretty self-explanatory regarding that. The Giants and the Eagles is another easy one. Not easy. There's another interesting one too, because the Giants, really? It's Hurts healthy. We always talk about that. You know, it's Hurts going to be rusty. You know, what's going on with it? This is another game, so pick them. I will say this. We'll let you talk about it. For my Super Bowl prediction, I think it's the 49ers, and I think it's the Chiefs. Only because, no offense, JK, I know we don't want to go down that route. You know, I don't want the Bills to get in there and lose again fifth time. The Bengals, you know, the 49ers, you know, I think that's what I'm thinking as far as my Super Bowl prediction right now. But do the last game, Giants and Eagles, if you will.
That's mine as well.
Perspective. Go ahead. With your thoughts, Giants and Eagles. Go ahead.
I think the Eagles win. I think it's a closer game like we started the show with. Even if he's healthy, I think it's going to take a little bit to knock off some of the rust. You know, he was playing at an MVP level, but you just don't jump back in and go straight back to playing at an MVP level, especially as a young quarterback that was just starting to figure it out this year. So I think they let the Giants hang around, and then they may end up being a similar kind of game to the Seattle-San Francisco game where it's like, wow, they're hanging through. They have a chance. It's close. And then you get a buzz call. You get a big A.J. Brown touchdown or Miles Sanders touchdown. They kind of get some separation. So I'm going to go with the Eagles 34-28.
I'm going to go 27-17, Eagles. And I agree with you. I think it's going to be a close team for a while. And the Eagles kind of get a late touchdown to kind of put the icing on the cake, 27-17, 10 points victory for the Eagles over the Giants. And Andre, I agree with you. As of right now, like at the 49ers against the Chiefs, if the Bengals offensive line was healthy, I would be picking the Bengals and the 49ers. I really would. I just think they were the hottest team in the AFC. 49ers the hottest team in the NFC. That was actually my Super Bowl pick, but I got to see some evidence of this Bengals offensive line getting healthy, and obviously going on the road back-to-back weeks against Buffalo and Kansas City. It's not going to be easy, but that's my Super Bowl prediction. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music. That ends the live portion of our show tonight. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. We're talking sports on the 12th Man East Coast next week, Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to want to hear from y'all. We got a lot of teams in the East Coast in the playoffs. Buffalo, the Giants, the Eagles. So we want to hear from y'all on the show next week. Central time zone. It's going to be 10 p.m. in Dallas.
We don't want to hear from the Eagles.
West Coast. West Coast is going to be 8 o'clock, San Francisco, Bay Area, Fresno. Who y'all rooting for? Oakland? Are you rooting for the Raiders? In Las Vegas? Are you rooting for the 49ers? Want to hear from y'all, Fresno, Jackson, Mississippi, or California. Tune in next Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Good night, people.
Oh, man. I'm going to see the floor to you, Gary. I don't know if you got your Eagles Giants pick in. I want you to get yours in while, before we get off of here.
Sure. Well, this is what I'm hoping. Nope. I'm going analytical. I'm taking Philadelphia. 24-21 Philadelphia. I'm hoping for a 24-21 Giants and a Cowboy upset so they can play the NFC Championship at home and then go to the Super Bowl and play the Bills. In the Super Bowl.
Oh, relive the 90s. Cowboys.
And I was going to say, that's a little 90s flashback. Okay.
With the same results, please.
You know what's funny? Like, this is, I wanted to see Gary stop on this because, you know, Gary's like not. It's like, I want to, it's like, you know, I don't pick none of them. I'm going to bump fight. I don't care who wins this one. So I'm glad you made a pick, man. So you're like, I hate both of these squads. In my division, man. And NFC least became the NFC beast. You talk about just how crazy that division was. We thought that was going to be the worst
three
division.
3-4.
Actually, be one of the better. Yeah, actually going to be the better division. Crazy how this year has turned out, for sure.
What do you mean, one of the better divisions?
The better, the best.
The division. Best.
My bad, okay?
Yeah.
The best. I gave you, I said NFC beast, not the least. So I gave you some props. How about that? But good. Good stuff. Good stuff, man. Hey, we're going to let you guys go because, you know, it's right up against it. JQ, appreciate you joining. Rob, appreciate you putting the topics. Gary, I know it's been a tough day, man. I feel you, man. So hopefully you're at our thoughts, our prayers all the time, man, you know, as far as the thing. And
yeah,
we're all dealing with stuff that we don't know about sometimes, too. But we're here for each other. So we thank you for this moment. This show is kind of therapy for me as well, getting back from Portugal. I don't know what time zone I'm in, so I apologize sometimes, but able to make it work for sure. So it's been fun. So thank you for sharing this moment with me tonight. So enjoy as well, guys. Have a great, great week.
Appreciate all you guys
too. Texting each other. Yeah,
yes, sir.
We'll be texting each other throughout the weekend. But much love for you guys, and have a great, great, great weekend. We'll talk to you guys soon, okay?
All right, gentlemen.
Cross your fingers when Mark kicks the field goal or extra point. Cross your fingers, just, you know. We need to know.
Rob,
yeah.
Rob, keep those topics. You don't have recycle some of those topics for Sean Payton because we got to talk about where he's going. I know you've got some serious stuff about that, you know, and whatnot too, because we got a whole other week to kind of see what's going on with that and Quentin Johnson. There's a lot of things we got to talk about for sure. You know, so just keep those topics. I don't want you to have to, like, redo, like, 30 more topics. So there's a couple we can kind of recycle for sure, okay?
I'm surprised the Chargers not firing Staley because that's really the job that Sean Payton wanted. And
yeah.
I'm surprised they keep
don't do it. Don't do it, L.A. Keep Staley's dumb ass. I don't want Sean Payton in the AFC. I want him to go to the back to the NFC. Go back to New Orleans, goddammit.
We're glad you came back.
You got fired, people, you know.
Well, if the Cowboys get blown out,
yes.
he'll be going to Texas, but it ain't the Texans.
I'm telling you.
Jerry Jones said they bring him back.
Jerry Jones won.
Well, of course he's going to say that now.
He has to say that. But come on, man.
Yeah.
Sean Payton, that's been his boy forever. He's been like jonesing for Sean Payton. I'm telling you.
That's what you did,
Jerry
Jones.
He put out his whip.
Hey, you guys, good night.
Yes.
Yes.
Good night.
Good night,
fella.
Later.